Welcome to the Heart Soul Wisdom Podcast, a journey of self-discovery and transformation. Moira Sutton and her amazing guests share real-life stories, tools, and strategies to inspire and empower you to create and live your best life. Come along on the journey and finally blast through any fears, obstacles, and challenges that have held you back in the past, so you can live your life with the joy, passion, and happiness that you desire. Now, here's your host, Create the Life You Love Empowerment Life Coach, Moira Sutton.
Episode 51, Relationship Dynamics in Life and in Love, with our very special guest, Andre Paradis. Andre has been studying people his entire life. Over a decade ago, he was compelled to teach his findings and knowledge to the masses, for they kept asking him why things seemed to be so hard or confusing when dealing with relationships, people, and life. Since his studies and understandings of relationship dynamics is so vast, Andre's knowledge expands across all types of subjects, such as love and life relationships with men and women, regardless of gender or orientation, raising children, married or single, and effective communication strategies and tools. Often, relationships can seem to be in a power struggle. The magic is to be fully aware of the energy mechanism in place in these dynamics and learn how to negotiate terms to reduce that power friction. This truly is the basis of Andre's work. Andre's married for over two decades and is a proud parent of two teens. His expertise spans not only over his knowledge, studies, research, and expertise, which we're going to go into today, as a coach, teacher, educator, mentor, and speaker, but also with his own personal life journey and experiences in dating, love, parenting, and business. So without further ado, I would like to welcome Andre Paradis. Welcome, Andre.
Good morning or good afternoon. Thank you, Maura.
Good day.
Good day.
I love that. You know, it's sort of like, I think when a relationship, so somebody always says, you know, honey, or let's say that you're dating and you say, oh, Susie, oh no, it's Anne or Joe, or you're always safe with honey, you know?
Right. I use darling a lot. Darling.
I like to, you know, the only person that says darling to me is my mom, and she's Scottish, and she thought it was bothering me at the beginning. And I said, no, I like hearing that from you, and you're the only one that can call me that. But she calls me darling. And what is this thing today, before I get into this, with this babe thing? Like, hey, babe, you know, baby, or, you know, mama.
The new one is babe, B-A-E, babe. So
like, I wouldn't want to be somebody's baby. I don't know. Is that just part of culture and different, you know, from different generations?
Yeah, it's an adaptation to, like, terms of endearment. So I call my wife babe. She calls me baby, right? I go, my woman. She says, you're my man.
I like that.
We have that. No, people get offended sometimes. They go, she's not your woman. She's your wife. I go, watch this. Hey, babe, you're my woman. And you're my man. And they go, oh, okay, got it. You guys are like that. Like, they get that we're bantering, right? But if you know, people are so easily triggered.
Yeah.
When I go meet my woman, they get all, right? I'm like, no, watch.
Oh, that's nice. We do that kind of thing. My man, my woman,
yeah,
you know,
that
man. Kind of thing.
My
yeah.
man. This yeah. is my man.
And we're going to get into all of that today.
Love it. Love it.
Seeing you're just this expert in, you know, the dynamics and, you know, life and just relationships. So I wanted to start with, you've really had quite the life. Like, you've led a light, you know, experiences dancing with the legends. I love this. Michael Jackson, Prince, Paul Abdul. I think you also did some producing with Paul Abdul and Julio Iglesias, you know, just to name a few. Like, you know, what point in your life was that turning point, that aha moment that you decided to shift into becoming this relationship coach and educator of effective communication?
Well, you know, my life was sort of in three phases. So I was a dancer. Then I became a business owner in Los Angeles when I stopped dancing after 15 years. But part of my default as a my brain is constantly curious and thirsty for knowledge. I've always been like this. I'm curious about everything. Like, you know, the moment we got pregnant, I'm a researcher. Like, so I went into what happens to her body and how does it dip out of her? So I could explain to you, like, this is 4 years before we got pregnant. We're just talking about it, right? And I researched, I knew everything that was going to happen to her body, the hormones, the water, the blood, the fluid, the mood, right? Because I'm wow. like this. I'm a curious guy. So if anything is in front of me that's relevant, I want to dig into it. So I've always been like this. So I started watching people, studying humans, just watching people behave when I was a child at the age of 5, out of trying to figure out what was wrong with my family. So seriously, that's how it started. But I became an observer of people, an observer of life, and curious about the human condition. How do you turn out like this? And how do you turn out like this? How come you, like, what, how, why? Do you know what I mean? The differences between us. And so, and then curious about life in general. So 23 years old, I started taking personal development workshops in every possible way, like with money, with myself, with relationships, with love matters, with dynamics with people, everything we do around that constantly. People think, I think speak relationship is, you know, love relationship, but it's everything is relationships, everything, right? Work relationships, business relationships, communication, you know what I mean? Like, so it all encompasses the human condition. We're always in relationships with someone somewhere, constantly, you know? So
that's great.
That's fascinating. So that's how it's kind of all started. 2006, I was in Northern California in another workshop, of course. And at that point, I was trying to learn some more business tricks for my business. On flying back to Los Angeles after that workshop, one of the ladies that I met in the workshop, we're sitting in the same row, and she's like, "What are you doing next Saturday?" And I go, "Oh, I don't work on the weekends, you know." And she goes, "Do you want to come to a workshop?" And I go, "Of course, you know." She's inviting me as a guest, right? So, and those workshops could be hundreds and sometimes thousands of dollars, right? So you're inviting me, Mr. Curious, to a free workshop. Yeah, right? And then I go, "Wait, so what's the workshop?" And she's like, "It's called Understanding Women." And I'm like, "Oh." Now, you have to understand, without arrogance, you know, because of my dance background, because it was always me and 50 women in every class that I taught and every rehearsal, right? Like, my life was me and 50 girls, right? And so not only I had no issue with the girls, I knew how to deal with them, work with them, you know, be with them, I always attracted sweet women. So I never did the crazy stuff that my friends seemed to do. So I actually thought I knew something that was, I thought it was me. Like, you know, so what are you going to teach me about women, ladies? Like, you know, geez, that's never been a thing for me. And my wife at the time, you know, married a few years, and she's an angel. Like, I got this. But I said I was going to go. So I went, and I thought it was going to be cute. And it wasn't. When I walked in the room, it was at a big airport hotel here in Los Angeles. I walked in the room, there was 400 people in there, and instantly went, uh-oh. Like, something's going on here. Like, this is not cute, right? Anyway, at the end of the workshop, my brain was literally all over the floor, all over the walls. I realized that Mr. Smooth over here, who, you know, had an ease with ladies on thought he was whatever, realized that I knew nothing about women, absolutely nothing, zero, zero. And then worst thing, more dangerous, I knew nothing about my wife. Do you know what I mean? And then so I panicked a little bit because I have my angel, right? I have my girl, I have my wife. At that time, with the babies, the kids were toddler and a baby. Nothing's wrong, right? We're not looking for this communication. Like, I'm not looking for this material, but thank God I tripped on this stuff, because I went into, oh my God, what am I doing? What might I be doing to her that I'm not aware of that makes her resent me, take things personally, think I'm a jerk, right? I hurt her feelings all the time, and I don't know, I don't mean to. How's that possible? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So my brain exploded. Like, I was not going to be a statistic because I didn't know. I just wasn't going to be, you know what I mean? Impossible for my brain. So I went, of course, jumped into the company, took all their material, all their curriculum, all their workshops. A minute later, I'm a workshop leader for them. Of course, I'm always a teacher, so that's just a natural extension. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then that's how it started. I didn't stay with that company, but I kept researching and studying because, like, oh my God, when you pop the lid on this stuff, right? Oh, so I ended up studying with five masters in the realm in different angles of the relationship world, right? Dr. John Gray, who's famous, right? His materials changed throughout the years. The past 10 years is all about the chemistry of our bodies, as opposed to describe, you know what I mean? So he's fascinating stuff. Chemistry, this is what I'm teaching, by the way. I'm teaching nature and chemistry.
Oh, I love that.
And science, right? This is not my opinion. So, you know, Dr. John Gray, Esther Perel at the time was not as big as she is now, but she's all about, intimacy and, you know, why people cheat or what is, you know, that whole mechanism. Fascinating. Again, another layer in relationships. Shanti Felhan, she's in the South, teaching love and respect dynamics that are based in the Bible, which is interesting because that was a whole different approach, a relationship dynamic. Alison Armstrong was the one who did the workshop Understanding Women that I was in first, all about anthropology. And then I ended up for 3.5 years working with Dr. Pat Allen here in Los Angeles. She's a family marriage child counselor, 46 years as a therapist. But so I'm not a therapist. I don't want to be a therapist because they bound you by limitation. But I'm trained by one, the most famous one in relationships. So the cocktail of my information, the cocktail of the content that I have, I think is untouchable from having these five angles that all come together from the back, from the rear, you know, they're all complementary, explain everything. Wow. So that became, again, that through the years, I accumulated all this knowledge. And of course, now my friends are coming at me, my customers are coming at me, and that was the machine. That's how that happened. It was kind of by accident. I don't now believe there's no accident, but I was in that workshop literally just because I was in another workshop and I said yes to curiosity.
Oh, take a deep breath.
Serious. I mean, it's such an adventure. I think about it and I'm like, what a trip. Like, if I hadn't been on that plane, if they hadn't been sitting next to me on the plane, you know, none of this would have come to fruition. I would have been, it just boggles my mind how an instant in life can change the whole trajectory of your life.
For sure. I also get that curiosity you have, because for me, I kept adding, like, I've been an entrepreneur for, over 30 years. and I always was curious to keep adding stuff to the point that one of my brothers was saying, you know, do you need another course? And I said, I'm fascinated and with different techniques. And then you have different tools and strategies to help the people that you serve. Right. And that was important to me. Or when I did healing work, I wanted to add another layer. If, let's say, this wasn't, you know, aligning with this person, I could always do this.
There you go.
Yeah. And yeah, so I get what you're saying there. So with our culture today, you know, when it comes to human dynamics and relationships,
where do you
start to teach and empower people? Like, you know, what's the starting point look like? And where does somebody really begin if they're, you know, let's just start with people today in relationships. What are people really looking for? Is it really changed between men and women, or women and women, or men and men?
You know, it's changed radically the past 10 years. It's interesting. There was, people used to come at me because they were like, you know, men not understanding their girlfriends or wives, and women frustrated with men because somehow they seem disconnected, aloof, right? So there was always, the disconnect was always women not understanding men's behavior and men understanding women's moods or like actions. And why is she taking this personally? Like, just baffled, right? And so that was a standard disconnect. It was literally men and women. But about 10 years ago, it changed like drastically. And that I hold the cultural pulse, you know, the cultural tidal wave of new belief or dismantling, you know, what we consider kind of more standard, you know, because now we decided that women are much more than, you know, wives and mothers, that women need to be CEOs make a ton of money and be wives and mothers and be excellent at all of it, right? The superwoman syndrome, which is putting a lot of stress on women and no one really can achieve it, but somehow that's the standard. So it creates a lot of tension, creates a lot of anxiety for women, which kind of damages, if not destroys, the possibility to attain or sustain a relationship. Right. On the other side of that, now this is the women's side. On the other side, this is what I've seen the past 10 years with the idea that men are dangerous and toxic by nature and they need to be neutralized or softened. Right. So you now are teaching men to go against their nature as warriors, conqueror, protector of women, protector of children. Right. And you shame them from stepping into their power so they are capable of doing this. And now you have a bunch of guys who don't know how to be men, who then almost lean on women to help them do life. Women are already stressed to their teeth, and now it's more stressful because now she has to carry his butt as well because he's not supposed to. So it's gone straight to hell in my book. Like it's gone. We went against everything that is, I mean, men and women are different enough in the first place, right? We're complementary to each other. Mm-hmm. We're not equals in the sense of we're equal rights, equal pay, equal opportunity. Like, of course, that's not what I'm saying. But the idea now in our culture that it morphed into men and women are supposed to be equal beings, which means he has to act more like a girl to be a good man, and she has to act more like a man to be a good woman. And that is now the kiss of death. This is what destroys relationships completely. It neutralizes the polarity, it neutralizes the dance. And if you both want to lead, you're not going anywhere. If you both want to follow, you're not going anywhere, right? So people go from fighting together because they both want to lead and be the man in a relationship, regardless of gender, by the way. And or they both want to be, you know, led. But if you have two who want to lead, you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So everything goes to hell and you know, we blame each other for it. But now it's become a standard operating. Like this is the standard is men have to be like women to be good men. And if it's not going to be soft, sensitive, and vulnerable, well, no woman's ever going to want to be with him. But that's not working. Women don't respect men who are sweet, sensitive, and vulnerable and don't handle their stuff. They just don't. The nice guy syndrome, you know, will have men slip into friend zone constantly and then they get angry and they want to blame women for this, but they're doing what they think is right per the culture. And women have themselves so extended into strong, independent, and powerful, it's killing them, it's killing their spirit, it's killing their energy, it gets them overwhelmed. And it's hard for them to be sweet and lovely. They're just so freaking stressed. So, like, both people are stressed in opposition of nature and their own nature physically. It creates confusion. And this is where everybody comes at me when you said, where did we start? We start with somebody calling me going, I don't understand. Nothing is working. Help me. Mm-hmm. I've listened to the culture, my mother, my teachers, right? My girlfriend, and nobody's dating me. And when they, you know, if I'm young, I'm pretty, I have money, I have my own everything, I'm no trouble. Nobody is seeing me. Nobody is dating me, nobody's asking me out. And if I manage to get one date, you know, he's like, nice to meet you, and disappears. What's wrong with me? Mm. That's how they come. So that's how they come at me. The men are like, I don't know what the hell to do. I don't know if I have the right to say anything. I'm sick of these pushy women. I'm sick of being run over. I'm sick of being told to step up or that I have to meet her up here. So they don't jump in. And the women are like, where are the men? Where are the men? They don't do anything. They don't ask us out or they disappear. Well, there we go. I kind of broke it up for you. That's what I see. That's where we start. Like, what's not working?
Well, I have about five questions that came up during that.
Yeah. Welcome to my head.
Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I want to go there.
Yeah.
But let's just go to the first one then out of this, because you talked about a lot of things in there. Like, you know, I know that you talk about equality is unnatural and how you feel equality kills intimacy. So we could expand on that because sure. A lot of people say, you know, I want to be equal with my partner. I want that equality. Like you're saying, equality in the workforce, equality.
That's fine.
Let it be your age, your, like we said, gender, your race, any of that, your religion, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So let's go there first.
So again, in my world, there's three things you have to have for a relationship to go long term. You have to have chemistry. That's nature, right? That's God given. You can't, you have it or you don't with each other. The second thing is compatibility. You have to be compatible in where the lifestyle that you're going for, right? Whether you want to be married, have children or not, whether you want to, like, you know, just be in a mating situation where you're not married, but you want long-term and you want to live in Australia at the end of this, right? Or do whatever, right? Compatibility is 6,000 different ways to do this. Mm-hmm. Some people can have compatibility as being of the same religion. For some people, that's not important, right? So this whatever, lifestyle is important. Going in the same direction, having the same idea of the future and how one live is so compatibility. Last one is communication. Like, if you care for somebody, you need to be able to communicate your wants and needs and negotiate those things respectfully for the thing to go. So these three things are essential. So equality in the name of, again, equal pay, all that is fine. But imagine, again, I'm going to give you a piece of nature, right? In nature, everything is polarized. Everything is polarized. So opposites attract, right? And there's a lot of energy with polarity, as in like two magnets, a positive and a negative magnet, you know, the more polarized they are in opposition, the more they snap together, you know, really hard. Bring two positive magnets together and you can't get them to touch. Are you with me? Because they push against each other. They push, right? Same with two negative magnets. It's the same. So this is what is happening with men and women. What makes a relationship last a long time is the polarity. It's the fact that he's masculine and she's feminine that attracts them to each other. It's the energy in place. If they're both masculine, they fight like two magnets. They push on each other. If they're both feminine, they still push against each other, but there's no action, right? That nobody does anything. So polarity is essential for the magnetism, right? The attachment, the juice. There's a lot of juice in that. So now I'm not saying the man has to be the man 100%. The woman has to be the little petite flower, but we need one of each for it to work. So in our culture, even when we flip the script with women are more masculine and men are more feminized, right? The polarity is still in place, except it doesn't last. It doesn't last. It falls apart. The women get tired of working. They want him to step up. He's never learned to step up. He's learned to be passive and follow her, right? And often she becomes his mother energetically. The sex life goes to hell. And eventually somebody's playing somewhere else after 10 years because it's not working. Like that, the polarity is now backwards. And nature has a way of saying, not working. Typically, even strong, powerful women want some guy who's bigger than her. Mm-hmm. And to just that she could just let go and follow him. Even a strong, powerful, like, so it's interesting. There's a lot of like, it messes up the mind. There's a cultural, you know, there's a cultural belief, you don't need no man. And in the next second they go, but where's my man? I don't need no man. Well, where's my man? There's no, I don't know, man, but they want a man, but they, you know, so that's screwing with your mind, you know. And men, the same thing. Men want to be powerful, but they're told not to be, that women will like him more if they're not, except women don't respect guys who don't have their stuff together. So that's what I'm saying. So polarity is essential. Backwards polarity fails within 10 years. That's something to like see and look out in the world. What happens, right? People come together, polarized backwards. In 10 years, she's sick of him. You can't stand her. You started getting pushed around. They break up. They get divorced. And they start again with another person. Last 10 years, they do it. So nowadays, people have typically three long-term relationships that fail after 10 years. And the last one, they usually will hang in there because by then they're in 60s and it's not worth fighting anymore. So it's very interesting.
It is interesting.
Back to nature, what works best is when a man is more, you know, grounded into being masculine and, you know, hold himself accountable for the protection and provision of women, children, and the world. It makes them feel like men. It builds their character. It makes them feel confident. And they, with that, are happy to protect everyone in their realm. And when a woman is more in line with being feminine and letting go and more interested in being as opposed to doing, right? Doing is masculine, being is feminine, right? When you let the man do, take charge, take responsibility, let himself, he's going to hold himself accountable for everything in your life. And that will take it off of you. And women find themselves going, oh, he's got it. I don't have to manage that. He'll, because you'll say stuff like, I got it, babe. Don't worry about this. It's done. Okay. Right. Men will hold themselves accountable to keep you happy, comfortable, right? In a good space. And this is why they do all the, we call it like all the logistical work, right? Take care of the car, take care of the house, take care of the money, get there, you know, make the money, like kind of the machine of life, I call it. Because when they do and they pride themselves in that, she gets to relax. She gets to be more into heart-centered, right? More, and when a woman is relaxed and, you know, get this, the very basic, very, very basic. When you feel good as a woman, I feel good in your presence. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. This is why men love to take care of women, because the woman that could put a smile on your face and have you relaxed, it goes all over me. So instinctively, again, it's nature, instinctively, real man, not boys, there's different types in my world, but real man loves to take care of women to make him comfortable, to make him, you know, to make him smile and keep him relaxed in a good state of mind and of spirit and of body. Because when she feels good, I feel good. Period. You know, and I'm the one who's helping her feel that way. And in that, she inspires me to want to do that more, to keep her in that space. And I'm accountable for that. That makes me like a man. So she feels like a woman for being protected, taken care of, given to. And he feels like a man for doing so. It's fantastic, right? Back to nature. But we've decided that all this is irrelevant now, or passe, old school. Well, okay. You know, we'll have 2.5 million years of evolution into this kind of dance, right? 60 years of feminism ain't changed nothing. And it's going to take another 1,500 years for this to like shift a little bit. So what I'm saying is that drastic flip of what nature does ease more easily is causing all the trouble. Woo! So there, polarity.
We need another breath there.
Equality.
This is a breathing exercise here.
I know, but equality not working. Do you see it that way? It's not working. It's confusing everything and everyone. Nobody knows what to do. Women are frustrated and men are throwing their hands up in the air. I can't make her happy. I don't know what she wants.
This almost sounds like a fairy tale, because there's I'm hearing you and it sounds wonderful.
Yep.
And I'm sure a lot of my listeners are thinking that too, because there's a lot of couples that they both have to work. Like, you know, the woman can't be at home and maybe cook and, you know, have this beautiful home, and the man goes out, does the, you know, the other part and looks after her, where that, it's not reality for them.
That's so, not fully what I'm suggesting, by the way, but.
Okay. Okay. Well, in that case, let's say they're at a place, not a good place in their life, because she's feeling frustrated. She can never, you know, even take time off to be with her baby. She has to work and resents it because she doesn't have that time when they're young.
Yep.
You know, how do you help somebody there? Like, do they just ask them to downsize, or,
you know? Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, like, again, we get polarized. So this is very, very part of the problem. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it is the cultural pace again, right? There's it's very hard to go against the tide of culture. Mm-hmm. I call it tidal wave, right? Mm-hmm. So what happens is, you know, if we expect everybody to work, right, men and women, right? Because that's the right way to do it now, right? What are you going to be when you grow up? We used to ask boys this. Now we ask women this, right? What do you mean when you grow up? Like, you have to be relevant in the world. You have to work. What are you bringing, right? Back in the days, it was kids.
Yeah.
Right? But now it's, no, you're better than that. You know what I mean? So, okay, that's kind of unfair. How about just that people have their choice? But that was the original feminist agenda, right? Like, give women choices. You want to be a mom. That's the standard route, right? Or path. Or you could go in the money lane. And so you get the love lane or the money lane. You have a choice. Fantastic. Except, no, not anymore. Now you have to be in the money lane. And you may end up in the love lane later on, which is where it goes to hell, because this is where my customers come to me. They don't want to be in the money lane at the age of 35 plus. They realize they're lonely. They're stressed out. They don't want to work 60, 70, 80 hours a week. They were sold the lemon that money was going to make them happy. They're not. They want relationships. Women are happier when the relationships around them are working, functioning, and healthy. Money does not make women happy, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Money doesn't make any bad. So both men and women are happier, have more fulfilling lives when they're in relationships. But if everybody's stepping into the money lane and forgetting the love lane, later on in life, it catches up to them. Every one of my clients. Mm-hmm. Right. So the choice was really, you know, you could be a mom or you could be a CEO. Oh, no, I'm supposed to be both. It doesn't work. It's too much. It's two full-time jobs, right? Well, nobody can attain it. So, and the ones that do are not happy. They're burnt out. They mm-hmm. feel like something's wrong with their lives. They feel like they lost themselves, and they have, right? There's just too much pouring out. Quality of life was on the toilet, even though they seemingly have everything. They don't. They feel miserable. I have two of these call me every year. I have everything. I don't understand what's wrong with me. Well, honey, you're inside out. You're mm-hmm. completely burnt out. You're completely like, you know, there's no time and space to relax. You're constantly on. That kills a woman long term. Anyway, so
that's an interesting choice. Dialogue yeah. with that, Andre, because like, and even when you do the three things, the chemistry, being compatible, lifestyle, yeah. communication,
yep.
you know, I thought that was interesting how you said the three of them. Yeah, definitely chemistry. I was thinking there with being compatible and lifestyle, because again, when Cliff and I met 32 years ago, married 30, you know, it was really, we were chemistry. And mm-hmm. and we didn't know if we were compatible yet. We just yep. knew that we wanted to go with ventures, and we sold everything and went and lived in the Bahamas on a boat. We both wanted that. And before him, when I dated people, no one was interested in doing that. They wanted to stay in their little yep. neighborhood. Yep. And I didn't quite understand that when there was a world out there.
you know, temperamentally, right?
Different yes. temperament. Yes. Sure. And then through the years, you know, we're committed and everything else, and learning curve as yourself, I'm sure you have ups and downs and curves. I think we all have that. That's part of the journey. Commitment to me, I think, is a biggie, where it's not just a drive up, order food and doesn't work. Because we've heard of people who have that mentality going into a commitment. It could be marriage or whatever way they're committing, and mm-hmm. saying, well, if it doesn't work, I can get out of this. There'll be somebody yep. else, that kind of thing.
Yep.
But lifestyle and all that, I think, is really important too, like you're saying. And for us, we have both worked through our whole marriage from the beginning. And when mm-hmm. I talk about the beginning and a baby, I was working then. I was doing healing work, and I didn't really want to do that. I wanted to just be with the baby.
Right.
And so I was one of those people. I don't know
if it was
resentment. Yeah. Because it was, yeah.
Nature.
As a mother, you'll do anything to protect your child. Like
nature. Nature. Yes, you could fight it, but yeah. you know what I mean?
Again. Yeah. And you don't get that back. So like for me, looking back, we both created that. But yeah, there could have been other choices. And there are choice points at every time in our life, every day. So
yeah. Again, to me, I always say, you know, this is the alarm. I like to sound the alarm, because you know, it's getting worse and worse. So now the millennials are completely, I think they're screwed, because they don't even, they can't even consider what you and I have been able to consider and live through, because it's unthinkable. It's unthinkable to think that a woman, you know, should not work full time and just be as powerful and equal to a man, so that he can't control her and she always has an option to get out if she wants to. Well, that's part of the problem.
Mm.
You know what I mean? If you get to step into something just because you have an out, you know, that's, no, right? Try to build a business where you have yourself an out just in case, you know, it's probably going to fall apart.
Yes.
You know what I mean? As opposed to, this has to work, right? This is a livelihood, right? You got to make it work. You got to put the work and time and the energy behind it, right? So if you approach your marriage or your relationship like a business, like you would approach a new business, right? That there's no failing. There's just getting, you know, on the other side of it and really learning all the negotiation and all the conversations and all the talking through all the possibilities and all the stuff that comes with life. Because even when things go well in a relationship, life will come and kick you in the head, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you help each other? How do you support each other? How do you fall apart? Do you blame each other? Like, come on, right? So you want to really that's where equality, again, with women trying to keep themselves safe by, you know, building a system around themselves that keeps them safe on paper, but doesn't keep them safe in their relationship, because nobody's really all the way in, and they wonder why it's not satisfying, and then people walk away, you know, because they kind of hang in there till they maybe get bored of each other, right? But they're not committed. They're not really, really committed, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, and that's the big problem. So,
Go ahead. No, and if somebody uses that card, you know, oh, I'm going to leave you, you know, like that, threats don't get you anywhere. Maybe one day they won't say, no, leave, you know, like it's just,
right.
You don't threaten somebody. Anybody doesn't like to be backed into a corner anyway.
Of course.
That's a nature thing.
That's manipulation. Yeah. You know what I mean? And people do manipulate. I get that. But, you know, if you're healthy, you're going to probably want to try to negotiate as opposed to manipulate. You know, now that's a whole different angle. But so I'm suggesting, you know, what is it that you want? I sound the alarm, like, you know, millennials have no idea, right? I had a guy complain the other day, I almost died. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so part of the problem you talked about earlier with, you know, you need both incomes to survive nowadays. That's a myth. That's an absolute myth. You know, what happens if she works full-time and he works full-time, like, that's called a convenient relationship. When you first get together, everybody's working. That's how it is today, right? So you have his salary and her salary. They come together, whether they marry or mate, and that money is like, oh, so we make together $250,000 a year, so we can afford this house, right? So now they strap themselves in a property that's costing accordingly to their lifestyle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except if they had, this is compatibility again, right? If they had an idea that they want to have children, which is typically people get married to have children. There's not much of the reason to get married. You know what I mean? It's a legal document, you know, to bound the family and have, you know, raise children. It's a commitment. It's a huge commitment, typically for children,
mm-hmm.
right? But if you have children, then her salary is going to, you know, if she decides that she's the one who's going to be the mother, then we can't afford it because, you know, we need her salary to keep up the house, right? So people strap themselves in with poor planning. Mm-hmm. So if you want to line up, if you want to have children and family, you don't need two full-time jobs if you plan it properly. So you can live smaller, right? That you could, one salary could support your lifestyle. You save the money of the second income in projecting having able to have one fall off of work for a while anyway, right? Like, so there's ways to do this. You don't have, but again, you know, we do as the Joneses do, right? Like, we copy what everybody else seems to be doing. If people are driving Teslas and Lexuses and live in houses and they need both salaries to keep the machine pumping all the time and there's no space for a break, they can't afford it. And then, of course...
And if there's a health emergency or something, you're seriously, right?
Then
you're in trouble.
Catastrophes everywhere. So people aren't thinking long-term. Mm-hmm. People aren't thinking living in a way that makes that possible. You know, and again, there's a cultural tidal wave of, you know, well, the Jones have it, you know, they have a Tesla. What, we can have a Tesla, right? And so it's not thinking, right? So my point is going back to sounding the alarm. As a young man, as a young woman, what do you want, right? What do you want? Do you want family and children? Then you got to plan that from the get-go, right? Now, understanding at one point, somebody's going to have to stay behind and be with the children, unless you want the system to raise your kids, which most nobody normal wants to. Nobody wants to have the school, the nanny, and or, you know, the after school program raising children. Do you know what I mean? Like, most women, as you know, even if you think I'm going to go back to work in 6 months, you don't want to go back to work in 6 months. Most women, right? They want to be with the children. They realize, oh my God, this is like the best thing I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
But then it has to work logistically, which means plan for that. Right. Plan. So I was going to say the story that I heard last week was like this guy was making, wrote this long article. I think it was on Twitter. I hate Twitter. But this whole thing about he was so disappointed in his wife because she was working for, you know, company, blah, blah, blah. And she's always been that working woman. And he was happy that she was working. Right. Really not manly. So their both salaries were allowing their lifestyles and take vacation time. They decided to have a baby. And they agreed after 4 months, she's going to go back to work because they need her salary to keep themselves in that lifestyle. And after 4 months, she's like, I don't want to go to work. I want to stay home. I want to stay with the baby. Like nature kicked in. A lot of women get like surprised by that one, right? But you think you could just have a baby and then go back to work, you know, 3 months in and just drop it off at daycare. And most women can't. Most women can't. They want, like, nature goes, right? Like you're attached to this kid and you can't just go to it. It's not important. Like, it's that priorities go like radically for some women, right? And they surprise them. So this woman did the same thing, which is nature again, much more normal than the other way. And he was angry at her because she was ruining their lifestyle because she wanted to be a stay-at-home mom for a little while anyway. And I'm like, wow. Like, this is something that we'd never, like, we never would talk about this 10, 20 years ago. Like, not one man would blame his wife for wanting to be his mother, the mother to his kids. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so that's the new cultural pulse, right? Like, and that's torturing people and their children, you know, and having people spin way too fast, way too hard, and that you don't have to. There's no such thing as, you know, you all have to work. There's no such, like,
well, what have you found then that what on the basis of the people you work with in the studies and everything you've done that women and then also men, what do they truly want in relationships? Is it one, like, sort of, it's not one package, but do you find that it's maybe shifted more? People want to be together, not have kids, maybe not make that choice. Then you still have the ones that want children. Then you have the ones whatever. What have you found that women truly want and what do men truly want?
Well, I'm going to tell you what the ones who are successful do. That could be helpful.
That would be helpful. Yes.
Are you ready?
It's very simple. Ready. I've got a pencil.
Now this is like straight couples, gay couple, lesbian couples. You know, by studying the ones who succeeded in relationships, right? We kind of put together the formula.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready? It's so simple. It's back to what I was talking about earlier, polarity. Mm-hmm. But check it out. I'm going to give you an example outside of love dynamic to teach you the same principle. Are you ready?
I have
these two guys that are partners here in Los Angeles. They have a personal development company. Of course, I know them because anyway. So they're two guys, right? They're not together. They're just business partners, right? And they make a ton of money because in their partnership, right? In the realm of making money, being successful in their partnership, which is personal development workshops, guess what? The temperament of each one of them is completely in polarity, right? One is the alpha, outward, talk to everybody, you know, grab the mic, public presentation, in your face, opens all the door, talks to everybody, you know what I mean? Like the extroverted guy, you know what I mean? That's who he is. And he loves it. And the more he does that, the more he feels alive and powerful. And that's his mojo.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is the opposite, right? The other one is a quiet one. He doesn't want to get on stage. Do not put a mic in his face. Like, he would die. You know what I mean? But he's a thinker. He's the quiet one. He's the introverted one. He's the writer. He's the content creator. He's the one who formulates what the other one's going to teach. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a freaking partnership, right? So it's not the same. If they were both fighting for the microphone, the business would fail. Because who's writing the content? Who's doing the other side of the equation for the partnership to be polarized in a way that we both bring a different piece for the thing to succeed? That's what I'm saying. So gay couples do this. One is more masculine and more like extroverted, more out in the world, more doing the outside work, if you want. And the other one is more introverted, is not so willing to go out to work so hard. They'd rather take care of the nest more. They work, but not as much. You know, they find their mojo into finding what pleases them, but their lifestyle is not about pushing so hard. They'd rather help the other guy, the other girl, you know, coming together and do the part to support them. Right? Just like these two guys. So all relationships, straight, gay, and lesbian who work, have that polarity. It's temperamental. Mm-hmm. One wants to work more and one wants to work less. One's extroverted, the other one's introverted. One is loud, the other one is quiet. One likes to take risk and push through everything and take big risks. The other one's like, whoa, 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 right? Constantly polarized and able to support each other in that and move through life with their gifts, as opposed to both trying to get the mic, which is what we teach our culture now. Girls, you don't get to sit back and be behind them. You know, you get to stand, you know, next to them. Get this. It's even worse than that. But what do you think about that? Do you see what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. Right? Like, that's what works. The polarity of bringing two pieces, just like ballroom dancers, right? They don't do the same things. And she's not passive. She's doing actually very actively exactly what he's doing backwards in long dress and heels, right? Like, it's, there's a challenge in that. But they're not doing the same job. They're complementary to each other. That's mm-hmm. what healthy relationships look like. They don't do the same thing. They complement each other and their gifts. Boom.
Yes. I think that's a dance of the feminine and the masculine. And also when we just started today, you had that lovely picture of you and your wife behind you know, salsa dancing. And I told you, we went to Argentina and it was such a unique experience watching them on the stage dance. It just blew our mind, and how they moved together in the love dance, you know?
Yeah. But get this, you know, the metaphors between dancing and relationships are fantastic. That's my background. So it makes complete sense to me.
Yes.
But like, again, it's who brings what, right? But have you seen ballroom dancers as well dance? Ballroom dancers. So if you've seen ballroom dancers and they come gliding across the floor and it looks effortless, like they're sliding on ice, like literally floating on air, right? And it looks so relaxed and seems so easy and so beautiful. Well, you know how much work and practice went into that? Mm-hmm. I can tell you that was my life. So like anything else, you know, that if you're going to really get into a commitment and go deep into building something with somebody, you're going to have to know and step in and practice what that means, right? So if you get on a dance floor with a new partner and you both don't know how to dance, it's going to be a little weird, right? Every relationship's in the beginning. You step on each other's toes, right? You're clunky. You know, if he's not a strong leader, you're going to pick it up. This instinct again, right? The moment he's not sure what he's doing, you're going to grab it because you feel unsafe, right? Oh, the nervous system jumps, right? If she won't take his lead because she doesn't want to be driven, right? They're fighting. Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get the elbow to the nose, right? That's just, I could promise, I've been there, right? So there's a dynamic that has to develop between us. Now, ballroom dancing is very, very, you know, black and white, but what I'm suggesting in love dynamic is not black and white. There's all the stuff in between. There's all the negotiation in between. But the ones that work temperamentally, one wants to do the more leading part. The other one wants to do the more supporting part. That's it. Now, if we'd go again backwards, like I talked earlier, when women want to be leading and men want to be passive, that will work for so long. Nature will come and bite you in the butt as well. And you have to, okay. So these are pretty simple concepts, right? Mm-hmm. Now, they're not sexist. They're not anti-women. They're not, you know, stereotypical. Right, they're flexible, but again, there's a system per our bodies that works much more easily, so that made both people more have happier in life, more connected to, you know, their own essence, satisfied with their partnership. More classic. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? To make it work better, as opposed to buying into the, you know, no man culture, or you should be, act like a girl as a man, be a good quality partner. No, so sorry. No way. No way.
So one of the topics you talk about is men and commitment. Yes, I know. Another deep beat. We're doing another breath, deep breath work.
Well, like, it makes me crazy. You know, it's not that hard. But everything we teach is making it impossible, harder, not working.
Well, you also have generational things, right? Like my mom and dad, my dad went to work, my mom stayed at home and raised us. And, you know, and that's what I saw growing up. And I did think that's what I was going to do, you know, 18, get married, have little kids, a little picket fence, didn't work. As I've been in my 20s, relationships didn't work. By the time I met Cliff, I was 30 and I had stopped looking. Like I thought, okay, this isn't working. I sort of just thought maybe it's not for me, kids and marriage.
Oh,
and,
stop. I hear that all the time. Yeah, no.
And what I wanted there, Andre, was I had decided I would move up north, sort of like bush people kind of thing, Alaskan people.
Oh,
I wanted to be a bush pilot anyway. And I thought, I like good wine, good food, good music, good books. And I thought, I'll just go up there and do that. Maybe that's what I'm going to do.
And
it didn't happen. I literally was looking into that. And then, boom, I went into an NLP course and met Cliff and everything changed. So,
ta-da.
That was a win. That was one of those wins you talked
about.
There was a topic on a podcast that you were on. I really like the title of the show. It was, "What's Our Husband's Doing When He's Doing Nothing?" That really fascinated me. I just wanted to hear how that came out. Where was that going?
Oh, my. I mean, this again, channels left and right on this one. But yes. It's women have this idea that, you know, when men aren't. Okay, it starts with this concept that because men don't talk very much. Right. Yes. That men either shallow or unintelligent or a little bit stupid. Right.
And or shutting you out or something like that.
Or sometimes that's different. Or that's a feeling cold. But the fact that they don't talk, typically women think that they're, you know, not thinking. If he's not talking, because he has nothing to say, because he's not thinking very much.
I get it. Sort of saying, what are you thinking? They say nothing. And I'm like, what do you mean nothing? Like, because a woman's always thinking. Like, she's
right.
All
over the place. Your ticker is always running, I guess.
Yes.
However, right? There's back to nature, right? The hunter body, male, right? Does one thing at a time. He goes for a hunt and then recovers. There's a transition between mission to mission to mission. The hunter goes hunting, transition, right? Rests on some level, 30 to 60 minutes, depending on the energy expended in the previous hunt, may I say, because everything's a hunt, right? Back to caveman, cavewoman.
Mm-hmm.
So hunter brain as opposed to gatherer brain. Gatherer brain is aware of everything all the time, all around her, just for survival. Everything that she sees, everything that she hears, everything she smells, everything, the radar is always hyped up. You're aware of everything at all times. That's the gatherer brain. Hunters don't do this. Hunters do one thing at a time. They focus on the hunt. When they're hunting, they're not talking together. Understand? They don't talk. That would be shooing away the critters, right? So no, we work side by side quietly. Man. Women work side by side, talking all the time, connecting, safety, different machines. All right. So we see we're not the same in any way. Nothing is the same. It's exact opposite of the same. And we should embrace that instead of trying to force people into what doesn't work. Anyway, so you'll find a man, women think impossible, like what is wrong with him, where on Saturday, you know, a Saturday afternoon, he's sitting on the couch. And the TV isn't even on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so she's always got something going in her head, in her life, around her. There's always shit to do. There's always stuff to do. There's always more to do. It's never right. You know, the house is never clean. It's never perfect. It's all right. You're constantly aware of everything that needs to be done. And he's just sitting there. And it baffles you. And you go, it's like, what are you doing? Huh? What are you doing?
I get this one, by the way.
Nothing, right? And what do you think is happening? Seriously, what do you think is happening when he's doing nothing?
Yeah, I think it could be like you're saying, taking the hunting to the other, or like
no.
Okay, so men they're not always chattering on in their brain. Their brain's different than a woman. So just being, or like you're saying, sitting on the couch or watching a TV, vegging out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I just know.
Let me tell you.
I want to hear.
Baffles women. When you sit, the TV is not even on.
Okay.
Right? Just say, what are you doing? Nothing. What are you thinking about? Nothing. Right? What's happening is, this is the physiology of males. The hunter has to, in order to keep the house, the wife, the culture, the tribe, whatever, safe, has to always be ready to fight.
Right.
So, you don't have that default mechanism. You're a gatherer. right? You think you have energy and you keep going and going and going until you fall over at 11 o'clock at night, exhausted. You don't have a gauge for spending your energy. Everything's always pulling at you. You don't have that gauge. Males have a gauge where I go do some stuff, I spend energy, and then I sit and I recover. This is the Dr. John Gray's material. Between 30 and 60 minutes when he sits, he's rebuilding his testosterone and his energy in order for the next battle, for the next hunt. That's all he's doing. He's not thinking, he's rebuilding. The system shuts down when he sits down, turn off the battery, and internally recharge his chemistry. Then he gets up and goes out through something else. And the more energy he spends, the more he has to recover. We're so naturally aware of this. It's automatic. Men know how to stop, when to stop, and what they need, and with how they need to take care of their bodies in order to be able to fight. This neurotic is built in. It's in the DNA. To you, he's just freaking sitting there. No, no, he's actually rebuilding his chemistry.
That's a different reframe, right?
So that's a different way to look at it, right?
Yeah, now, a different way to look at it.
What you don't want to do, this is when, if you want to, like an example of a collapse or a collision, is a Saturday afternoon. He just finished mowing the lawn. It's 110 outside, or, you know, if you're in Atlanta, 109 plus humidity, right? So it takes a couple of soaking wet, right? You just spend a ton of energy mowing the lawn, let's say. He comes back in the house, washes his hands, towels his face, sits on the couch. Now, the TV could be on or off. It doesn't matter, right? It could be on and he's not even paying attention, right? You don't know that because it looks the same, right? Mm-hmm. And then you go, oh, good. You know, he's done with his shit. Excuse my French. And you go right up to him because he's obviously not doing anything. Right? Obviously, he's just sitting there. He's not doing anything. You go, babe, I need to help you with the shelves in the garage. Remember, you were going to help me last week and we never did it. So let's go now. And he gets mad. Mm-hmm. And you go, what the hell? What kind of a jerk did I marry, right? Why did he get mad? Because you're interrupting his rebuilding. And there's another one that you're not going to like, but factual reframe that men have a plan for typically for the entire day, the day before, certainly that morning. So if he plans to do mow the lawn, and he's recovering, then he might have thought and planned already that he was going to change his pants and go to Home Depot because he needs that fertilizer because there's a dead patch in the grass that he can't freaking recover from, right? And after Home Depot, he might just stop, you know, by the fishing store because, you know, he needs and then when he's out there, he might just get the car wash, right? He's got this whole thing planned. But to you, he's just sitting on the couch. So then you go, help me with this. And he goes, no. And then start a fight because you're stepping on his plan. You think he's a jerk. He thinks you're unreasonable. That's one. I have 7,000 of these.
I think that's, I get that. It makes sense. I also feel any commitment couples make, especially when you have children and you're really busy, you know, if you're commit to do something like maybe just mowing the lawn, right? Mm-hmm. Then you mow the lawn. If you, and you know, in our family, we all did landmark education. Yep. I did it. Our son did it.
Yep.
Cliff did it. And I wanted them to do it because I wanted everybody to know when you commit to do something, so I don't have to be thinking about it. So if you follow through, yep. I think it's great. And when you talk about, you know, I'm thinking, you know, about a man cave, and I forgot the person. I didn't think to bring up his name today. I could add it and find out who he is below in the show notes. But he talks about the man cave and how, you know, it's his cave, not hers. And he's in there, and he might be doing nothing. And she comes in and said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And you know, he's like, "Nothing." And then, "Oh, can I come in here and clean?" No. And then it's like all this area that, you know, like, because we're building a loft here, finishing one, and it may be close man cave, and he can go do whatever he wants, and you know, it's perfect. You know, I kind of want a woman's cave too, though. I want my little bunkie out by the lake. So,
and you can if you add, you know, if you tell him what it would provide for you that would make you happy, watch him build it faster than his man cave.
Yeah, this is going to be my writing area. So I know we have so much here. We knew this was going to happen, Andre.
I know. I told you.
I know, but it's fun. And I was also going to share with you at the beginning when we were talking about something with language, just before we started taping, is, you know, there was a show called Two and a Half Men that I used to enjoy. And very, very funny, you know, in many ways. And Cliff and I used to speak on cruise lines, and we did this sort of thing back together about communication and listening. And one of the shows on there, he says to the woman, you know, "I understand." He doesn't say anything. He's listening. And he just ends with, "I understand." And Charlie doesn't understand. And his brother's like, "What do you mean you understand?" He goes, "Well, I don't know." You know, he's saying to his brother, but so he's listening and he keeps saying that. And literally the other woman feels heard, you know, and that's all she needed. And so when Cliff said that on one of our cruise lines, and, you know, the people in the audience, the men, they like that, right?
Yep.
And anytime Cliff says this to me, I said, "Don't go there. Don't go with the I understand," right? Because that's the anchor has got for me. So it's kind of funny, but
it's kind of funny.
It is. Andre, you have a special gift that you've created for our listeners today. The links to you and the gift.
Yes.
Will be below in the show notes. Can you share that with our listeners today?
Yeah. So, you know, if anything I said is tantalizing the audience or they're curious, you know, so what I'm offering any of you, and new listeners, is a conversation to talk about their circumstances. So if you go to andregroupcoaching.com, just all low cap, all stuck together, it takes you to my calendar, and just find an open slot that works for you and book the VIP 1 hour conversation. And we can have a conversation about your challenges, you know, whether it's the cultural beat, or you find yourself resonating with what I said, and a way out, or a different way, or a modern way to do love relationships. If you find yourself saying stuff like, "Be nice to have a man, but I already know a man," I promise you, eventually it's going to come and haunt you. The idea of, you know, "It'd be nice, but I don't need it," you know, it's like, often by the time you realize that you're really attached to it, you got yourself in a space where it's very difficult to unravel your bad habits, if I want to put it this way. You know, if you say, "I don't need a car and I can take the bus and I'm fine," you're never going to buy a car. Never going to buy a car because I'm fine. So I don't need no man. I'm fine without one. It'd be nice to have one, but I'm fine without it. You're never going to have a man. Right? Like, so you don't want to be a client of mine and wait too late to push to find to the place when you realize that maybe, you know, it'd be nice to have some companionship, some support, some help, you know, some safety in that, a safety in that, you know, and that maybe the culture was not really the best, you know, teacher for you or your mother or your teachers or whatever, right? Or your girlfriend. So what is it that you want? So that call is basically a deep dive into your psyche. Some women are masculine because of terrible things that happened in their childhood. That's important because sometimes that's where you're blocked. You can't trust men. You can't trust humans. You can't, you know, it's all on you. You're not good enough. Whatever belief that you picked up or you made up about your life, yourself, the world, people at 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old run the show. Your subconscious is running the show. Mm-hmm. That's so when women come at me with, you know, "What's wrong with me? I'm attractive, I'm young, I have everything." Nobody, I go, "Honey, there's nothing wrong with you. Let's go find out how you got to be that way. Like, what is it that you're protecting yourself from neurotically without that you forgot about and realize there's nothing wrong with you? You just probably have a lifetime of bad habits per your childhood."
Perfect.
And from that place, it's liberating, right? Like, then you go, "There's nothing wrong with you." So then from here, so what is it that you want? Mm-hmm. What is it that you want? You want family? You want children? You don't want children? You want a companionship? Okay, well, we could do that. Now, you know, if you're a woman want to be in a relationship with a man, again, you have to learn to dance with the man. So what does that look like? What, how, you know, understanding what attracts men, understanding what makes them commit. Do you know what makes a man commit? Out loud. Nobody knows. And man can't explain it. You're a yes or a no. He's in or he's out. Right? So these are the things you have to learn. Like a dance, you have to learn to dance. Like, what is it that attracts men? What makes them stick around and commit and take care of you, want to take care of you, want to keep you happy and comfortable? Like, right? So there's a whole system there that's instinctual that man respond to, not think about, respond to. But you have to know what it is, and you have to want to do it. But everything the culture is teaching you, ladies, is keeping you from relationship with men, because everything that you pride yourself with, they think is more important, it's better, it's good for your business, will kill the relationship with men. So, that's kind of important to know. Okay. That'd be interesting, right? So that's what I'm offering for you, your listeners.
Okay.
It's on me. It's on me. It's just a discovery into what you want, where it went wrong, possibly. It always goes right, awry somewhere. And then what's keeping you from everything you want?
Got it.
Boom. It's a great call.
Well, thank you. I'd also like to invite our listeners today. This is something we're doing new, to subscribe, share, and rate us on Apple iTunes, which I've just really learned how to do. Become part of our community here. We're all about raising consciousness and the vibration to heal humanity and our planet. That's my whole vision.
Love it.
And, share with us your takeaways today. What did you learn here from Andre? What really spoke to you? What really went, oh, that's me? And if you want to have continued future conversations on the topic of relationship dynamics, communication, please let us know. And Andre, thank you for sharing from your heart and soul, your wisdom, on relationship dynamics in life and in love. Namaste.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to the Heart Soul Wisdom Podcast with Moira Sutton. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please join our community at moirasutton.com and continue the discussion on our Facebook page, Create the Life You Love. You will be part of a global movement connecting with other heart-centered people who are consciously creating the life they love on their own terms. Together, we can raise our consciousness for the greater good of humanity and for our planet.